Hi, it's Dave. Welcome. Today, I'm joined by Sawyer Merritt. He is the master of breaking Tesla news on Twitter. Sawyer, you've got, like 150,000 followers almost on Twitter?
Yeah, somewhere crazy? Around there. It's crazy.
Yeah, ridiculous. he's a co-founder of Twin Birch, a sustainable clothing company, also running the XPod podcast about Tesla, SpaceX, Elon Musk. He just finished his stock sale. What do you think of it? What was going through your mind as Elon sold all this stock the past, you know, month and a half or so?
Yeah, you know, initially when I had seen the Twitter poll, I was like, oh no, like this is bad. But actually looking into it deeper and, you know, realizing his reasons for selling, I was way more for it. And also realizing after his roughly 10% sale of his Tesla stock that he'd actually owned more Tesla than he did prior to the sale, that also encouraged me to sort of support it, even though initially I was sort of against it. But I'm glad the selling's over now. I think a lot of people were sort of, this has been dragging on for quite a while now, and I think people were pretty tired of it, but I'm glad Elon sort of just got it done and over with now instead of sort of dragging it on through 2022, which he could have done. And I don't expect, you know, him to resume selling once like the window is back open in late January. I think he's probably done. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think it totally clears this uncertainty around, you know, stock sales. But yeah, 2022. What's kind of one word that might describe your feelings or your thoughts regarding Tesla in 2022?
I think takeoff. You know, I think 2021 was the setup year with, you know, all the new factories being built and capacity expanding. But now it's all about like ramping up production and just everything with, you know, 4680s, the cars, the mega packs at the new Lathrop factory, et cetera, et cetera. So I think 2021 with the new factories being built was the build up. And then 2022, I think, is the real takeoff year.
Mm-hmm. When you say takeoff, like, I'm guessing like you have the Austin factory, you have Berlin factory, you have the 4680 cells. Are there any part of this kind of takeoff ramp that you're concerned about? Do you think everything out, or do you think everything will just go smooth as planned?
I think the biggest risks are probably Giga Berlin, I want to say, and the ramp of the 4680s. Obviously, we've seen many issues with the Giga Berlin approval process. We just heard today that Tesla did submit those missing documents. And I'm confident, especially because I've been hearing from my sources that, you know, they're confident that they can get approval in January. And they have another 450 to 500 new employees coming on in Giga Berlin just in January for the general assembly line. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll get it done, but I think, you know, ramping up the 4680s, if there's any issues regarding that, that would be my biggest concern, as well as getting Giga Berlin actually approved.
Yeah, Berlin, yeah, it's taking a while, at least as long as they get the approval, you know, like in January or so, should be all fine. Lots of red tape. Austin Gigafactory, you're the one who kind of gave the suggestion of doing a launch party, and Elon picked that up, and it looks like he's planning on it, right? I mean, that's the latest,
I think,
right?
Early 2022.
Any idea, any guesses when you think a launch party at Austin Gigafactory would happen?
I want to say probably around March. You know, I think they probably want to hold off until they have initial Model Y production going, and I kind of feel like they're going to use this launch party as maybe a way to unveil like the final Cybertruck design, and then they'll start production of that later in Q3, Q4 of 2022. And it'll be interesting to see if sort of anyone's allowed to go, if they'll have certain restrictions. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really hope they throw some like Texas culture into that party, because that's what it's all about down there.
Yeah, a huge barbecue or something like crazy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Are you planning on going if they do a launch party? I mean, you've got to go, right? I mean, you're the founder of the idea.
I'm the one that suggested it. Like, it'd be a bad look if I didn't. So I don't know. We'll see. I think now I'm going to go, but we'll have to see.
Yeah. Do you have a Model Y on order?
I ordered a long range Model Y in August of this year. And I was originally going to take delivery in December, but obviously with the tax credit stuff coming, and the Giga Texas Model Y is maybe coming soon, I was like, let me just push it off until later in Q1. So that's what I've done.
Okay. EV tax credit, do you think, so for those who aren't following it closely, We had the Build Back Better plan, which had the EV tax credit extension, but then it got nixed. And now there's talk where, you know, maybe it could be brought back as a smaller bill. Maybe EV tax credits can be a separate bill. Like, what's your kind of feel on this whole thing? Do you think we'll get EV tax credit extensions next year or not?
Yeah, I still think it'll pass, but I'm growing more and more skeptical. I think, you know, Senator Joe Manchin doesn't seem to want to budge from his position. Manchin said, you know, he'll say yes to the bill if they get rid of the child tax credit, but, you know, that's really one of Biden's pillar proposals. So, you know, I don't think he'll get rid of that completely. You know, I'll tell you what, though, you know, I did delay my Model Y because of, like, the tax credit, but, you know, I think if my Model Y is ready to go, and maybe if I can get a Giga Texas one, I'll just take delivery. I'm not going to wait for the tax credit to pass, you know?
Yeah.
I just want that thing.
Yeah. What do you think for the Model Ys coming out of Austin and Berlin? Do you think there will be some major changes? I mean, we know, you know, the structural battery pack, maybe 4680s, but there seems to be a backup plan for 2170s in the meantime. What do you imagine the Model Ys, you know, to what kind of improvements do you see in 2022?
Yeah, definitely the underbody of the vehicle and like the guts of it will be pretty different. Like the front castings will be like a big savings. It's like unclear, you know, if they'll do like a 2170 like structural pack like right from the get go, or just like the same ones from Shanghai. But like once 4680s get into those vehicles, we'll see some like I think some nice spec bumps like down the road, I think. And of course, like build quality will be incredible. But I think most of the changes will probably be in the guts of the vehicle. I think if the average person who doesn't follow Tesla too closely, if you were to give them a Giga Texas Model Y versus like a Fremont Model Y, they probably wouldn't notice a massive difference outside of maybe some general spec bumps. But other than that, probably not.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, one of the big advantages of the 4680 is not just the cost, but it's also the range improvements. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be huge. And I think it could allow the standard range Model Y to actually have some pretty impressive, you know, specs if they want to bring that out later.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, rather than people waiting for it, I think Tesla has kind of gone to this thing where if they have a new model or kind of a better range, they'll just bump up the price, I think, in a way to kind of make things even in a way. So, I don't know if it's worth waiting for it. Maybe if you want, you know, perhaps longer range, you know, or I don't know. It just seems like it all kind of gradually kind of work its way in, you know, the price and the range. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think for the early adopters, they're gonna want the latest and greatest. But I think for the average consumer that's buying an electric vehicle, 330 miles of range, which is what the Model Y has now, that's more than enough. Like the charging infrastructure at this point is more than well enough established for people to be able to just live normally and not have range anxiety. I would take a guess that maybe we'd see 350 to 400 miles of range with the 4680 Model Y. That would be my guess. I don't think we'll see all the way upwards of 500 miles, at least right now. They'll probably keep it within 350 to 400.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we know that, you know, used car prices, new car prices have been going up radically, and that's helping Tesla kind of raise their prices, get good margins, et cetera. Are you kind of surprised at all the price increases this past year? And then looking forward into 2022, do you think if the EV tax credit doesn't get passed, do you think Tesla, I guess it's a double question. Do you think used car prices and new car prices in general will kind of go back to, you know, median or kind of trend back? And as a result, will Tesla, do you think, have to lower their prices, you know, in 2022? And then will this in effect, you know, kind of put downward pressure on margins? Or I wouldn't say downward pressure, but just, maybe keep margins in check rather than, you know, being able to grow rapidly.
Yeah, I think the Model Y is almost like $9,000 to $10,000 more expensive than it was just earlier this year. So it's gone up quite a bit. But really, I think a lot of that is just simple supply and demand. You know, Tesla doesn't have enough supply to meet the demand right now. And one of the best ways to combat that a little bit is to raise prices. And, you know, I think it's been sitting at the base Model Y has been sitting at about $59,000 for a while now. So they might have found that equilibrium to a degree. But I would expect as supply chain shortages, you know, sort of ease up and their capacity expands, I would expect the prices to come down a little bit more to reality, because I think 59,000 is far higher than I think Tesla wants it to be. But that's just sort of the environment we're in right now. Everything's just sort of, prices are just inflated across the board for all cars. We're seeing, traditional dealerships from Ford and Mercedes like have these market adjustments where they're increasing prices. So I think everyone's just trying to take advantage of the situation to a degree. And yeah, I wouldn't expect probably the tax credit, if it, whether it gets passed or not, to affect prices too much. I could be wrong on that. Because I think Tesla's raised prices quite a bit already. I wouldn't expect, if it were to pass, that they would raise prices like a ton more.
Yeah. I mean, one scenario though, if the EV tax credit passes, people put in a bunch of orders and then the wait time extends and Tesla has no choice, because like they
That's
don't
one
want
thing
people
I'm worried
waiting.
about, because like the wait times for a long range base is like already a year long. So I'm worried that, a lot of people are saying once Giga Berlin and Giga Austin come online, like that will sort of help ease the situation, but I don't think they'd ramp quick enough to really like offset that, even the longer waits. I don't know. We'll have to see. So.
It seems like so we're at the quarter end push, just a couple 1 day left actually. And inventory on Tesla's site is really low, so it's a good sign. We haven't heard, too many stories of hiccups. It seems like, deliveries are generally going fine all over. One thing that I did notice, it seems like Model S kind of, especially the plaid versions are kind of, they're kind of on the only cars that have decent, inventory. But they're also, the priciest cars. I would imagine, maybe that's the first car that maybe gets a price adjustment if, demand isn't, doesn't keep up, especially going into next quarter. I mean, what are your thoughts with that?
Yeah, the one reason that there's a lot of inventory right now is because a lot of people had to wait really long for these cars, and some of those are just customer rejects. So if like a customer says, I don't want that car anymore, or they reject it for quality reasons or whatever, Tesla will just put that into inventory. And Tesla's inventory tends to get snapped up pretty quick, even for really expensive cars like the Model S. So yeah, I think the Model X price will certainly go up next year, because right now it's like less expensive than the Model S, which is kind of strange. And the Model S price might come down a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised to see that. But like a Model X wait time right now, if you get a base Model X, you're waiting until May 2023, according to Tesla. So that's
That's
a long time.
crazy. Yeah, I don't know how that's gonna work out. I mean, I don't know where this demand is coming from, because they did, boost up their X prices. Even the standard, the long range is like over 100,000. It's crazy. It's interesting times for sure.
Yes.
What are I'm curious for Shanghai Gigafactory. So it seems like they're looking to, expand production there. There was this kind of news article about them inking a deal with Hyundai to ship a bunch of cars out. What do you think their plans are? Is it, do you think they'll keep kind of Shanghai for mostly Asia, exporting and China, or do you think they have some other kind of, grandeur, more ambitious plans?
I think for now they certainly intend to keep shipping cars from Shanghai all around Europe and to Australia and various other places, even to some degree in the US, because Shanghai is really the hub now of Tesla manufacturing and exporting, as Elon and Tesla had stated. So but I expect, yeah, a lot more investments to go in there. I think capacity will continue to expand. We saw some drone footage the other day of a model like Model Y is leaving every 37 seconds roughly from the factory, and at that rate, that's like a 830,000 per year capacity. Obviously, it's not an exact science like that, but yeah, and I think eventually they'll make the Model S and X actually in Shanghai as well. Yeah, from my sources continue to tell me that Shanghai will continue to get investments and capacity expansion, and yeah, they're not slowing down there.
Super interesting. So, do you think Tesla would kind of announce a new Gigafactory in the next year, or do you think they're just going to focus mostly just on expanding Austin and Berlin and Shanghai, and actually expanding Fremont a bit too? I'm sure they got their hands full, but in the background, they've got to be looking, also probably, for new locations as well.
Yeah.
Curious.
Yeah, I think for now they're probably just going to focus on the locations that they have. You know, Giga Texas has like thousands of acres that they can expand on. And, you know,
Yeah,
Elon
sure.
has said that Giga Texas is a $10 billion plus dollar investment long term. And certainly like Giga Berlin is still has plenty of land to, left as well to expand on. So, you know, whether Tesla wants more or some location diversity, I think is sort of up for debate. But, Elon did tweet out that right now they're sort of just focused on their current land pieces and their factories. And then I think next year, maybe late next year, they'll probably announce maybe a new location. But we'll have to see.
Yeah.
I think diversity location or, location diversity isn't such a bad thing. But I also kind of want them to just focus on expanding at the current locations as well.
Yeah. Next year, do you think Tesla goes under or over 1.4 million vehicles
Oh, I'm
delivered?
definitely over. I think, the street estimate I think is 1.25 million right now. Like to me,
Yeah.
that's laughably low.
Yeah.
I think 1.5 to 1.7 million. That would be my range right now.
Wow. Yeah. Do you have any ideas in 2025? I think the street estimate is like 2. Maybe 7 million or so. Do you think Tesla can hit like 5 million or so?
Oh yeah, I think they
Yeah.
can. Yeah. Long term, I've been told that, Giga Berlin capacity and even maybe Giga Texas capacity could be upwards of 2 million a year.
Wow.
So at that rate, you're well, past 5 million globally with all the factories combined.
Yeah, and especially when they announce their next gen, more affordable. I don't know if you should call the $25,000 car anymore because with inflation, it's like,
Yeah.
who knows what that price is going to be. But what do you envision the $25,000 car to be? Do you think it's a kind of a hatchback-ish car? Do you think it's like a small SUV? Do you think it's a sedan? Do you think China version will be different than European version? Or yeah, what's your
Yeah,
thoughts?
I expect them to have sort of different versions for different locations because I think China's needs and maybe even Europe's needs are a little bit different than the US's needs. Yeah, but I think like it'll be like a little hatchback. I don't think it'll be as tiny as I think some people are expecting. I think it'll still be pretty sizable, and I think it'll probably be closer to $30,000 rather than 25, at least to start, because even to this day. Tesla used to sell a $35,000 Model 3, but like no one really wanted the base Model 3, and I think that would be the case maybe for the $25,000 model as well. Not many people buy like the base model Accord, like Honda Accord, for instance. They just jump up to like the sport model, for example. So yeah, I think especially as if FSD continues to get better as well, like people are going to want to pay up for upgrades. So, but I think it'll be like an incredible vehicle. I really do.
Do you have a Cybertruck on order?
Yeah, I got two. I
Or
got a
two?
dual motor one and I had a
Oh.
tri motor, but I guess I've been
So.
told that the lineup will be dual motor, quad motor, and then plaid.
Oh wow. So 2, 4 and crazy.
Yep.
I can't imagine what the 0 to 60 time on a
Oh, it's gonna be insane.
Cybertruck plaid would be. That big piece of metal just going down the street, like,
I
oh
know.
my gosh, it's ridiculous. So what will you do with your Model Y if the Cybertruck comes out like early 2023?
I
Will
think
you
I'll just.
wait a bit, or you think, or
I think I'll probably just keep it. I think I'm probably based on the Cybertruck reservation tracker online. I think I'm like 110,000th in line. So I wouldn't be able to get my truck until later in 2023 likely. So, but I am considering maybe giving my Model Y to my girlfriend. She'd buy it off of me, and then maybe I just get the Cybertruck because like once the Cybertruck comes out, like it's just going to be such a badass vehicle. It's going to be hard to
Seriously.
deny not getting that.
That'd be incredible. FSD. FSD is it's a controversial thing. Some people think it's like coming at any moment, level 4, level 5. Others, think it's gonna be many years. What are your expectations for FSD?
Yeah, Elon said on the Lex Fridman podcast, a couple of days ago that FSD is looking quite likely to be solved in 2022. And a lot of people say that Elon says that every year, and it's kind of true, but this is the first time where I really like believed it, I think. In previous years we didn't have like visual feedback in the way of the FSD beta. And it's sort of like a real-time direct like status regarding the progress of full self-driving in general. And like the reviews on FSD beta 10.8 are like incredible, and people are saying, it's the best version yet. So the progress on FSD, I think won't be linear. there are going to be versions that come out that are worse than the previous version, but then Tesla fixes it, and then the beta gets better, and so on and so forth. So, I think that kind of happened with beta 10.5 when that came out. People sort of complained about it, and then they just made it a lot better with the next release. But overall, I'm like really bullish on FSD in 2022. And if that gets like a wide release, like look out, like that's going to be a serious big opening up of potential valuation creation.
It's like it's a tricky one, that timing, because it's also this gray area where it's like when is it good enough, to do wide release. It's a tricky one. Looking out to next year as a, let's say, as a Tesla investor, is there a certain area that you're maybe a bit more kind of focused on to keep track or to just watch? What do you think is going to be kind of, an impactful area for Tesla next year that you think maybe, it's going to, maybe it's unclear or it's like you need to track it, watch it as an investor? Like, is there something like that for you?
I think if Tesla can prove that they can mass manufacture their 4680 batteries, and they really do bring the cost savings and upgrades along with the structural pack, that's going to usher in sort of a new era of Tesla vehicles and capability for that matter. People have to remember that a lot of Tesla's cost per vehicle comes from the battery, and up to like 56 to 69% cost reduction, all things included with the setup. We'll really start to see margins that like the car industry has never seen before. So 4680 is personally, I think that's the one area that I'm really watching. And I'm encouraged by the videos that we're seeing out of Giga Texas from Joe Tegmeyer. He's a great drone flyer, and he sort of zoomed in on one of the top floors of the battery cell part of the factory, and you can see all the 4680 equipment. And I've seen photos inside of Cato Road, and that is 4680 equipment. That's not 2170. So I'm super excited. It's going to take a while to spool up, obviously. That's expected. But 4680s are gonna, I'm going to keep my eye on that throughout 2022.
I think that's one of the most underestimated improvements. It's like Tesla is like interesting because they're doing so much behind the scenes, and it requires so much focus and execution, and they're not per se touting it, like they're not pumping it as much. They're just kind of like letting the work get done, with a bunch of engineering teams just like at it, and the results are going to show for themselves, when with cars delivered, lower prices, longer range, just ramping production, et cetera. Definitely fascinating times. So Emmett Pepper's on my last podcast, he was saying he thinks Tesla might just go down as the top stock of all time, when it's all said and done. Do you think that will be the case or not? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I could see that. I think Tesla is a multifaceted and multi-level company. It's a really diverse company. It's almost Tesla's sort of almost like its own ETF. They're sort of like the car business, the energy business, the AI business, the FSD, and then you have all the other little subsets and stuff. The charging network, like potential licensing of software. Their level of vertical integration and pace of innovation only seems to be getting better and quicker. So when I look at that, and when I look at the potential valuation that each of these business and subsets could create, like you're looking at trillions and trillions of dollars. So like I totally agree with Emmett that like long term, like Tesla could just be this one incredible behemoth of a company. And I think it's really just the beginning. We're still in the early innings, in my opinion, of value creation. And it's just such an exciting future. And I think this decade will really be the decade of Tesla.
So last night, Elon kind of shocked at least me personally when he replied to this older, over a year old X holding company idea tweet that I did. And he replied with a thinking emoji. What are your thoughts? Yes or no on X holding company? If it was up to you to vote, right now, would you vote yes or would you vote no?
All right, so I wrote down some thoughts and I'll go through them. And I think they're just some quick initial, somewhat uneducated thoughts I might add that I had after last night. And my initial vote would be no. And here are a few reasons why. There would probably be antitrust and or red tape concerns like left and right, and the hate against Elon would only intensify. In 1911, like the government broke up Standard Oil, like I think which was the biggest company on earth, I think at the time. They broke it up into 34 separate companies, and two of those companies are Chevron and ExxonMobil, both like massive companies in their own right today. And I think SpaceX would be a heavy financial burden on the whole holding company, at least in the near term. Tesla would essentially have to like prop up the rest of the companies financially for at least the next few years. Also, like the level of scrutiny only increases when you become a public company, and like you become really burdened by short-term, like quarterly thinking and results. And like for, I think disruptive companies like SpaceX, Boring Company, and Neuralink, like that, they really wouldn't benefit from that at all. And like so many people don't really understand Tesla already, so I have little reason to believe that like those same people would understand like SpaceX, Neuralink, or Boring Company. So there would definitely be like massive FUD campaigns. But yeah, like those companies have just have really long time horizons, like decade-long ones. And I think I remember like a couple of years ago, Elon told institutional investors that were exploring whether or not to invest into SpaceX. He told them that like you should not be expect to get any returns on their money for the next 15 years. So that's something to keep in mind. I think one benefit of the X holding company would have is though that it would give retail investors access to these great companies, access they didn't have before, partially due to accredited investor rules, which are a whole topic in and of itself. So that'd be a big positive. So yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of complexities to this idea that is sort of hard to imagine like all the scenarios. There's pros and cons. Maybe he'll do another like Twitter poll and just let the people decide. I don't know. But I think it makes maybe he could just like maybe Tesla could just buy stakes into these companies. And I saw Emmett Pepper sort of suggest that idea. Maybe they could buy stakes, though I'm not sure how that really fits into Tesla's mission. But yeah, those are my quick initial thoughts.
Definitely good thoughts. My thoughts have evolved over time. It took me like, because when I wrote that first tweet, it was just like, just an off-the-cuff idea I've had. And then I started to kind of talk with people, had some discussions with some large investors as well, who are invested in Tesla, also SpaceX, and hearing their thoughts. And there is kind of a visceral reaction from some people where there's this fear that, it could, kind of hurt Tesla's stock price and be a terrible idea. And so, I'm more, I guess, not just understanding, but I recognize, it's a very uncertain, a lot of unknown things, with a possible merger. For example, SpaceX is kind of national security level type of company. And would that kind of hurt Tesla's future in China if,
That's a good point.
you have this X company that's SpaceX, very aligned with the US government, with high security matters. If space kind of competition wars, increase, like there it could be some retaliation. But on the flip side, there like the it's intriguing still to me because it's imminent that I think Elon will step down in the next, maybe 3 to 4 or 5 years as CEO of Tesla. He might stick around as, product architect or, kind of CPO, chief product officer or something, or advisor. But the reality is like SpaceX is taking so much more of his time and energy. And Elon kind of, in my opinion, he thrives off of survival. He's got
He
this like
does.
this adrenaline and on living on the edge, And if Tesla gets to this place where it's like just too comfy, he kind of, I think, will lose interest. He'll be like, I need to move on, to something, crazier. And I think, people might say, oh, that's great for Tesla. Tesla can become like an Apple, continue, in their execution. They can, find like a Tim Cook type of person or something. But to me, there's this thing where I feel like Elon, if he had just one company, and he pulled everything together, like he would know that this would be his legacy, like in one company. And this would kind of increase his commitment to everything under that umbrella. Like, and it would be a lifetime commitment now. So he would be CEO of Tesla until he dies. Like rather than just the next 3 years, he'd be CEO. Like he's only 50 years old too, and
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
he's not going to stop working at 70 if he lives, you know, to like he'll probably be CEO until he's 80, like 30 years. Can you imagine what Tesla would be being 30 years under Elon Musk CEO?
He'll be like Warren Buffett and just work forever. Like,
yeah, exactly. But I don't think people understand completely like the difference of Tesla. I think this is my personal opinion, but I want to see Tesla 30 years under Elon Musk CEO-ship, you know, rather than 3 years. And I think, you know, it's like some of these other companies like Neuralink and Starlink, I think they're underappreciated in terms of the revenue and profit. I think, you know, people say, hey, you know, Tesla will get, or the holding company will get a discount, a conglomerate discount. But, you know, after a year or two, I think people will realize, like, wait a minute, Starlink is huge, you know, and Neuralink has a lot of potential. All these companies, I think they're economically underappreciated. Like, yeah, it's, but I'm okay with either way, actually. You know, I'm not like dying. Yeah, like, has to be
I think
one
a lot of people are also hesitant because, you know, Tesla is just like now a profitable company and we're just now seeing like really good financial success. And their balance, you know, their whole balance sheet is looking like better than ever. So I think a lot of people are concerned if you throw in like a lot of these money losing businesses and like, oh, we got to wait more years. It's, you know, where it's going to be all this thought about losing money. But, you know, I could be persuaded either way.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about like, I think it'd be really helpful if like Elon gave his thoughts on this whole thing instead of just an emoji. Like, it'd be interesting to hear his thoughts because I bet he has some really good ones that, and probably perspectives that we just haven't thought of.
Yeah. Also, there's probably like, trauma from Tesla investors going through hardship, you know, in the past, not wanting to relive like what, PTSD or something, you know, definitely. Sawyer, it's been fun, chatting, with you. I'll go ahead and link to your Twitter profile in the video description.
If you don't mind,
yeah,
I'd like to share some little exclusive Tesla stuff with your viewers, if that's okay.
Yeah. Go for it.
So I'm hearing as of right now, Arizona and Ohio will get Tesla insurance next. And, you know, expect those in January. And then an additional 3 states will get Tesla insurance in Q1, you know, but I don't know which ones yet, but I will find out eventually. And lastly, you know, some know I shared back in late September that Tesla will start, you know, matching employee contributions to their 401k starting January 1st, 2022. I didn't know much beyond that then, but I do now. And beginning January 1st, Tesla will will be implementing a discretionary employer match. So Tesla will match 50% of the first 6%, capped at $3,000 annually, of an employee's eligible compensation that they contribute to their 401k. So, awesome. So yeah, it's like really exciting that they're doing this finally. You know, I think the 3% might sort of put some people like off guard a little bit and be like, well, that's not that great, but I think it could get better over time as Tesla's financials improve. And, you know, I've talked to many like employees and they're like super pumped about this. So I think it's a great addition.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Good stuff. Curious, do you have an update on Twin Birch, your sustainable clothing company? Where are you at it right now?
We faced delay after delay. You know, we had a lot of fabric that came in from Vietnam and it was sitting at a California port for 9 weeks. And because it's made out of hemp and organic cotton, it sort of got screwed or torqued, I guess you could say. So we're trying to figure out that mess and if we can still even use the fabric. So we've been dealing with a lot of supply chain issues just like everyone else in the world. But we're really hoping to launch in Q1 this time. And we're really working hard. I've already built a new website. I haven't put it live yet, but twinbirch.com, I think that will go live with a new website in Q1. We'll launch in Q1 and we're really working hard to really make sure, because I know a lot of people probably think Twin Birch is just fake at this point because all the delay. But no, we're still on track to launch early next year.
All right, cool, man. And then I'll go ahead and link to your XPod podcast in the video description as well.
Thank you.
Awesome, man. Wish you the best 2022. I can't wait to see what happens next year.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun to do this.
All right, man. All right, see ya.
Take care.
All right.